Welcome back to the Season 2, Episode 14 of Teed Up, where everyone's a sports expert.
The podcast that makes you care about sports.
We are an original podcast created and produced by Long Beach State's student-run newspaper, The Daily 49er. I'm Naoki.
I'm Matty G.
And ladies and gentlemen, we've finally done it. Season 2 is almost about a wrap, but we could not close out this season without having arguably our most anticipated guest of the entire season.
Yeah, the last second dropout.
Yeah.
It was interesting to say the least.
You know, he's been ducking us all year.
Oregon ducking you.
Oh, yes.
Oregon ducking you.
Coming up with the puns.
But if you guys have either graduated from here or still go here and you're in the JPR department, you know who this man is. Even if you're not, everybody should know who this guy is. He's a multi-time Pulitzer winning designer for many, many publications. He has been an advisor here for a very long time.
16 years. Yes.
He is. Is your title technically what, design advisor for the 49er?
I am. I'm the design advisor for the Daily 49er and a little bit for daily49er.com and Digging Espanol a little bit also, too.
There you go. So if everybody can, please help me give a very warm Tito welcome to Mr. Gary Metzger.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So instead of being the lid lifter for the season, I'm the lid closer.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. You're the king of the fourth quarter.
King of the fourth quarter.
Clutch gene.
Yes. You know, as much as I would have liked to have been here with Barb, you know, shit happens. So, yeah.
The string.
What are you going
to
do?
What are we going to do?
Yes.
You got your bachelor's degree in journalism at MIZU.
I did.
The University of Missouri. Can you describe your time in Missouri?
My time in Missouri was fabulous. First of all, I had to battle my parents to go to MIZU. My parents only wanted me to stay in Delaware. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
Wow.
Home of Joe Biden, by the way.
Wow.
In fact, his mom and my mom used to go to the same hairdresser.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, they used to chat and everything, talk about stuff. Anyway, my parents only wanted me to go to UD, University of Delaware. Go Blue Hens, by the way. Luckily, I had an aunt and an uncle who worked at the Miami Herald. And it was my mother's sister who convinced her that that they should let me go to MIZU. And I mean, I'm still in touch with my roommates from all the way back in the 70s. But what really set it off for me was, and I recommend this for everybody, you know, if there's a job that you want, if there's something that you want to do at a university, and this is even like for clubs and things like that, go for it. Because what's the worst that can happen? Somebody will say, no, you can't do it. So I knew that, you know, in colleges there were sports information departments. In essence, I was the sports information department for my high school. And so I knew that this function was at major colleges and things like that. So I just off the top of my head, sat down at my electric typewriter and wrote a letter to the sports information director at Missouri. And he said, yeah, we're looking for student assistants. Sure, you know, when you get on campus, come on by, we'll talk and see what's going on. And sure enough, I became a student assistant in the Missouri Sports Information Department and had that job for 4 years. Paid position.
Wow.
It was awesome. I got to do sidebar stories. And for those of you who don't know what a sidebar story is, it's like a supplemental story to the main game story. Mm-hmm. So while the main game story covers the entire length and breadth of a game, the sidebar may concentrate on a single play that changed the game, like Jake kicking a 59-yard field goal the other day.
Jake Elliott.
But it focuses on a person or a play or a situation, and that's all you write about. And so I got to write sidebars for the newspaper in Des Moines, Iowa, and in Lincoln, Nebraska, and for Omaha, and for the Kansas City Star, and for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and the St. Louis Globe-Democrat. I really got to practice the craft of writing while being a student assistant. And they paid me like $50. Remember, this is in the 1970s. That was like a big deal to get me $50.
That's like $1,000 today.
Yeah, that's like then tax free, you know? It was, you know, it was great. Made an amazing amount of contacts. That's really where my networking started, was being a student assistant and meeting all of these great writers who would come to Columbia to cover football games, things like that. So, yeah, so not only did I work for the sports information department, but I wrote for this student newspaper called The Man Eater. And then when you get into J school in your junior year, then you start writing for what's called The Missourian. And The Missourian, at the time when I was going to school, and this was also during Watergate, we had a larger staff, students and everything, than The Washington Post did at that time. It was ridiculous. I mean, there were so many sports writers that the professor who ran the sports desk and everything was assigning students to cover junior high football. That's because they were just out of beats. You know, you had two or three guys cover Mizzou football, a couple cover Missouri basketball, one or two maybe cover baseball. Women's sports weren't really very big at all back in the 70s, so it was a very competitive environment.
So as far as like rooting interests go, then we know you're Philly through and through, but we've heard you now mention Oregon. We've heard you mention Mizzou.
Yeah.
Who's closer to your heart? Mizzou Tigers, Oregon Ducks.
As he's got the Oregon sweater on.
Man.
Is he about to do it?
Yeah. No, I mean, my son went there, so yeah. So it's Oregon. Okay. Do I still follow Mizzou? Hell yeah. They're like 10-2.
Mm-hmm. True.
They had a great year this year with Eli Sinkowitz. And the basketball team's doing okay also. But yeah, I mean, you almost didn't have this interview today because I seriously consider, my wife said, why don't we go to Vegas and go to the game?
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, see, that's why we need to wrap this up because the game starts, you know.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. Sorry,
Mrs.
I'm kidding.
Sorry, Mrs. Metzger. I'm fine. This is very good. Talk about your journalism career post-college, right? We've mentioned at the top that you're won multiple Pulitzers, which is, for those who don't know, it's like the highest honor that we can achieve as journalists.
It is.
Talk about those Pulitzer-led teams that you were a part of that you won those awards with.
Well, I didn't actually lead the team. I was the design portion of those Pulitzers. The first one was for the Northridge earthquake, where you guys weren't even born yet. The second one was for the riots after the jury in Pomona came down and said that the policemen that beat the crap out of Rodney King were not guilty. The third one was for a bank shootout in North Hollywood where the robbers had more powerful guns than the LAPD did. And then the fourth one was for wildfire in, I think it was in Orange County or maybe Northern San Diego County. Yeah, those were the four. But I did design. And so it's a staff award. It's not to an individual. But then the managing editor or the editor determines who gets these little Pulitzer paperweights that are made at Tiffany's in New York City, because the Pulitzer comes out of New York City from Columbia University, Joseph Pulitzer. And so, yeah, I was lucky enough to have been a part to get these little Pulitzer paperweights and everything that I show around the very first day of class to all the students and everything.
Pulitzer paperweights is crazy.
Yeah. But that's what they are. I mean, they're really nice. And I mean, Tiffany's doesn't get much better than that, but yeah, they're just little paperweights. And if you come into my office, I have the plaques also that show about that. But you were asking about, you know, the start of my career. And so I would let everybody know that when I graduated, I had nothing. I sent out about 100 applications. You would send out these packages in the mail. We didn't have internet. You couldn't create a portfolio online. So I had my best headlines, my best copy-edited stories where I'm on a big piece of paper. On one side would be what the writer turned in, and the other side would be how I edited that story, and also the designs that I did. And I tell you, I sent applications from the East Coast to all the way to Samoa, if you can believe that.
Samoa.
Yeah. Gannett has a newspaper out there. Hmm. And I figured, what the heck? You know, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You didn't hear
back? Nothing. Yeah. I used to have a shoebox full of rejections. But the bottom line here, everybody, is you can't give up. Just because you get 100 no's, you're eventually going to get a yes. And I did. So I drove back home to Delaware, and I was working as a summer intern at the local newspaper in Wilmington. And a couple weeks after I'd gotten home, I got a phone call from the sports editor back in Columbia, Missouri. Once again, it comes all back to networking. Mm-hmm. He called me up. He said, hey, I need a sports writer to cover high school football back in Columbia. We're paying $125 bucks a week. What do you say? Oh. I said, I'm packing. I'm coming back. And so got back. And, you know, when you work at a really, really small newspaper, you have to do everything. So, you know, a typical Friday night would be cover the high school football game. And the big high school in town was Hickman High School. And their mascot is a Cupid doll. Something like you win, like if you go to an amusement park and win a stuffed doll or something like that. It used to be called a Cupid doll. They were the Hickman High School Cupies. What the f*** kind of nickname is that? Oh, my God. But you know what? They were a hell of a football team. They were really, really good. They went to the regionals and things like that. But when you have a large school right in the middle of the state, and if you don't know where Columbia is, it's 121 miles to Kansas City and 120 miles to St. Louis. It's right in the middle of the state, Interstate 70. But when you're a large school, you have to play other large schools to become eligible for the state playoffs and things like that. So I would drive to Rolla. I would drive to St. Joe. I would drive to Jefferson City, the state capital. I would be driving all over the damn state and everything, you know, to cover the football team. And then, of course, you know, if I was on the road, I would have to find a pay telephone and call up the sports desk and dictate my story so that it could be in the paper for the next morning. But when I had a home game and everything, I'd have to cover the game, get back to the office, write it up, and then design the sports pages. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, because on Friday, because the Columbia Daily Tribune was an afternoon newspaper. So we would put out a newspaper. We would go to work at 4 a.m., and the newspaper would come out at noon. Then we would have to turn around because on Saturday and Sunday, we were a morning paper. So it was a very long Friday. Yeah, very long. So I worked there. And for those of you who don't know what AP is, it's the Associated Press. The Associated Press sports editors have a yearly contest for layout and best stories and things like that. And a couple of designs that I had done took first place in the small newspaper category. And apparently somebody took notice. A person who worked in, of all places, Clearwater, Florida. And they called me up and said, hey, you know, we saw your work and everything. How, what do you think about coming to Florida and working? I mean, who doesn't want to go to Florida, right? Who wants to be in the cold, in the 0-degree temperature, in the snow of Missouri? And so, yeah, packed the car, drove down to Clearwater, Florida, which is on the West Coast, not the East Coast, but the West Coast, where Tampa and St. Pete are, and got hired to work in Clearwater, which if either of you two know anything about Philadelphia sports, why would I want to work in Clearwater, Florida?
You're the Philly guy.
I'm just the Eagles fan.
It's in Philly.
The Phillies train in Clearwater.
Ah. Spring training. That's
your thing. That's
spring training, Maddie.
Yeah.
What better place is for a Philadelphia fan to be in Clearwater? And the former boss, you know, in Wilmington, he came down and everything. And, oh, hi, Hal. How you doing? Hal Bodley was his name. And it was like a f*** you, Hal, for not hiring me full time. And, and I was doing the design and everything. And once again, the designs that I did in Clearwater caught the eye of a sports editor in Jacksonville, which is on the other side of the state, like minutes away from the Georgia border. And I worked there for a couple of years. Of course, as you well know, what famous college football game is always held in Jacksonville, Florida? The world's greatest cocktail party. What's the name of the game?
Florida-Georgia?
Florida-Georgia. Florida-Georgia.
JJ mentioned it.
JJ did, yeah.
Yeah, Florida-Georgia. Always held in Jacksonville. So, yeah, that was really, really fun being there. You know, we covered Georgia football when Herschel Walker was playing. Yeah. In fact, our paper was one of the very first papers to write about Herschel Walker in high school. In fact, I still remember the headline, Doing Right in Wrightsville, because he was from Wrightsville, Georgia. And, yeah, we covered Herschel. Yeah.
Herschel Walker does not get talked about enough when we talk about some of the all-time great running backs, I don't think.
No, you're right. No, he really doesn't. He was great. So, yeah, so worked a couple years in Jacksonville, and then out of the clear blue. I mean, and see, this is what's crazy, right? You write 100 applications, nothing happens, and then all of a sudden people start calling me. So, once again, out of the clear blue, here's this phone call from this guy in Los Angeles. And I had always told my mother, I want to be working in sports for the 1984 Summer Olympic Games in L.A. And son of a bitch, 1981, I moved out here to work at the L.A. Herald Examiner. I was the assistant sports editor. And a couple years later, left in 1984 to work for the L.A. Times. Worked in the Times sports department for a couple years, Olympics, things like that. But, you know, by that time, remember, it's from the 1970s and to the mid-1980s. Like, I was, like, ready to say there's got to be something else to do in journalism than sports. It gets a bit predictable if you're designing all the time. And so I wanted to see what the other side of the world was. And so I started working for the Metro staff and did that for quite a few years. Got promoted to senior editor and started designing the front page of the paper.
Oh.
Yeah. So when O.J. Simpson was found not guilty, I designed that special edition. When 9/11 happened, I designed that special edition that went out. So, yeah.
This guy's not real.
That didn't show up in the research?
No, it did.
You're not a real person.
No, I'm
you're
not.
Actually insane.
I'm not, yeah.
I'm happy we got to the Times now because I think, like, someone who's been through the industry so long, we're now seeing those changes. With the New York Times fully shutting down their sports department, switching over to, like, The Athletic, and so much of coverage now being more on the national side than local. Like, how does it feel for you, having done it all?
It feels strange. It feels horrible. It feels like the newspapers are saying, f*** you, to the readers. It really does. It's not right. And it's interesting that you mentioned the New York Times, because one of my closest friends, Billy Witz, for years was the beat writer on the Yankees and then turned and was covering colleges, had the national college beat. He was one of the people who really broke the scandal story, you know, with the people cheating to get and in fact, the one of the assistant athletic directors at USC lives here in Long Beach, and he tracked her down. And found her and talked to her and everything. So, it's very strange to look at the LA Times now and the approach that they have decided to take as far as their coverage. It's very, very disjointed. You know, the sports editor came out and said, we're only going to do features and, you know, and investigative stories and things like that. And then you open up the paper, or you look at the E! Newspaper, and there's, like, game coverage in there.
Yeah.
Make up your mind. What, you know, do it one way or the other. Things are really going to change when we hit 2024, because the deadline for all the pages and everything is going to be 7:30. How are you going to cover a Laker game?
Mm-hmm.
You can't unless it's like an afternoon thing, yeah. Or the same thing with the Dodgers or the Angels or the Clippers, or you know, football games if they're in the afternoon. Other than that, you're thinking, you know, or they're thinking that everybody is going to subscribe to their e-edition.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's disappointing. And on a local point, I mean, there's nobody at the Long Beach Press-Telegram mm-hmm. who covers Long Beach State Athletics. And if and when they do, it's a stringer. It's a correspondent who does it. You know, thank goodness. I know that you guys said you had JJ on. Thank goodness for the 562. You know, they do a great job. They really do. So.
Yeah, I actually wanted to mention JJ too, because you talk about just how important networking is. And so we looked to JJ. We got through networking from your class. Last semester was Beto.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you have these guests you're able to bring in your classes and you hear about the connections they make with students, what does that mean for you, too?
It just thrills me to no end when that happens. I have a couple of former design students who now work at the Washington Post, and I'm still in touch with them mm-hmm. all the time. They still send me their pages. Gary, what do you think of this page? What should I do? Should I do something? It's like, and it's very touching. It really means the world to me that I can still keep in touch with former students and everything, because I love my students. They're, yeah, it's a joy to be here and to share what I know, what I've learned mm-hmm. through the decades with them. I really, really enjoy that.
Are you going to call me and Maddie back in the future to talk to your sports class?
Oh, hell no. Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? You two?
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
We missed that one triple over time. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No way.
One of the most interesting things that I learned about you through having you as an advisor and getting to know you over the past year is that you teach a spin class.
Yes, I
do. So talk about your spin classes. What does that entail?
So I have been teaching group exercise classes for about 40 years.
40?
40. F-O-R-T-Y, 40.
That's older than me and you combined.
That's older than both of you, yeah. And I've been at one particular gym. I've just started my 31st year. It's right down in Belmont Shore. It's called the Belmont Athletic Club. In fact, I had two students come and take spin class this morning. Because for my classes, I say to all my students, if you come and take a spin class, I'll give you extra credit because I'll kick their ass all over the place in class. So the student came, she said she almost threw up. So when that happens, that's like, I know I'm doing a good job.
Now we have another thing we got to do next semester. We got to have the doubles pickleball match with us three and Bobby.
Yep, yeah, I talked to Bobby about it. So he said after the new year, mm-hmm. we'll do the pickleball.
Can we get like a mobile setup and do a video on doing Gary's spin class? Me and Maddie doing Gary's spin class.
Teed up from spin class.
Teed up
there
from
you go.
Trying to get words out while we're spinning.
Exactly.
Me and Maddie just like throwing up in the corner.
It's where I met my wife.
Whoa.
That's so cute.
Is that in the research?
It's not.
So I hit on my wife. She was taking my double step aerobics class. Double step. Two steps, just like this. You do choreography on one step, then you do the same thing on the other step with a different leg. And I hit on her. Yeah, I hit on her. Yeah.
That's the teaser clip.
Yeah. So we talked. She said, yeah, let's go out for a date. We went out for a really nice dinner. Then she unloads the bomb on me saying, oh, by the way, I'm getting ready to go to Colorado to pursue my doctorate in kinesiology for 2.5 years. So, yeah.
On the first day she said that?
On the first date.
Wow.
Yeah. So for 2.5 years, we had a long-distance relationship. I would – on Saturday nights, I was designing the front page of the LA Times. I would go to work extra early, set up the front page and everything, and then hand it off to an assistant. I'd get on the last flight out of LAX to Denver because I had Sunday, Monday off. So I'd fly out Saturday night and then stay with her for Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, and then get the first flight out on Tuesday and go right to work.
Wait, this, you did this every weekend?
Almost every weekend for 2.5 years. Sometimes she would come back to Long Beach, mm-hmm. but most of the time I would be going out to Denver.
How?
What?
I'm what? Bad. I can't. What? How do you? What?
Spit it out.
Look, I get really bad flying anxiety. I hate it when I have to fly once a year, let alone every weekend.
Stand in line, buddy. I am a big-time white-knuckle flyer.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially going into Denver, right? Because you have to go over the Rocky Mountains, and those winds hitting up off the...
No, nah, Gary, stop. Okay. Stop. I'm going to cry. I'll cry right
now. Hey, listen, for love, you do some things you do for love.
Yeah, you know what? Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough, dude. Yeah.
I do love how the years we have on here is 24 years at the LA Times, but then it ended up being 31 years teaching spin classes.
Right. So before I worked at the LA Times, I was teaching spin. Yeah.
So I know you're probably aware of Banana Break.
Right.
No. What? Do I have to eat a banana?
No.
But do I get to eat banana bread?
You could.
Okay.
Oh, actually, before we go any further, as this episode is dropping, if you're watching this on YouTube, we will be posting the Banana Break, what we call the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. It's the way that we kind of cap off the season. It's going to be almost everything that we've mentioned throughout the Banana Breaks of the semester. Some bad. Some good banana-based food, some not so good banana-based food. So if you guys watch this video, listen to this show, please go over to the YouTube. We're going to be posting the Banana Break Final Supper as this episode drops. But no, Gary, you don't have to eat anything now.
Do I have to eat banana peppers?
No.
Okay.
No, I wanted to give you a little teaser into next semester. We're going to have the Frank Break. Right.
Okay.
So hot dogs.
Oh, I love hot dogs.
Yeah.
And so I was coming up with the idea of, you've won a Pulitzer, right?
Right.
I think we should create a Polisher for like the best hot dog content possible.
Ooh.
I just want to know your idea on like, could the Frank Break win a Polisher?
Oh, absolutely. But it has to be the right Frank.
Shall we? Well, before we close out the season two
Wait,
finale.
Wait, we're done? This is it?
You said you're an important man. You gotta,
this is it?
You gotta catch Oregon, Washington, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
But before we close out the episode, is there anything that you would like to say to the audience?
I would like to say to the audience, and it's a little bit of a serious message, but I mentioned it one time. You know, no matter how many rejections that you get in life, you got to push forward. You can't step back. You can't lay down and say, why did this happen to me? Anything like that. You just have to keep moving forward. And here's my other case in point. So, and this is a date I'll never forget, July 14, 2008. Was a day that the Los Angeles Times laid off 150 people. 150 people. Mm-hmm. They'd never laid off that many people in one day. And I was part of that 150 people. And they did it while I was on vacation.
Bruh.
But here's the thing. As soon as I heard that, and in fact, even before I went on vacation, I knew that layoffs were coming up, and I said to my boss, if you know something, tell me so that I can get, like, update the resume and get the cover letter going and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me shit. But as soon as it happened, I sent out cover letters to the chair of the journalism department at Fullerton, the evil Fullerton, and to Long Beach. And the only one that responded to me was Long Beach.
Take that, Fullerton.
Yeah. And then one week before the fall 2008 semester, he called me and said, we need somebody to teach design. Will you come and teach design? So you can't give up. You have to know that the old cliche is really true, that when one door closes, another one opens. You just have to keep the faith.
So inspirational. That's why you're the best. That's why you won everything. You've been all around the block.
That's why I've been California Journalism Educator of the Year. Is that in your research?
That is in my research.
You didn't mention it.
I'm trying to talk about your professional career.
Did you mention that I'm the president of the California College Media Association?
No, that's only for me to know.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't need to know that.
Okay.
Well, now they know.
Now they know.
Well, I mean, this is why we're as good as we are here at the 49er. That's what we've been.
Hell
we
yes.
Won awards.
Absolutely.
Because of people like you and Barb and everybody that's helped us out as student journalists.
And, you know, for the people who don't know, there is a journalism convention coming up in March in La Jolla.
Yep.
It's the
American Collegiate Press, right? It's ACP, no?
Associated Collegiate Press. At that convention, they are going to induct the Daily 49er into their Hall of Fame.
We're going to be Hall of Famers,
Jersey's
Maddie.
On the rafters.
Yes, yeah. You are now. Yes, we're going to hang that from the rafters. Yes, that we are in the Hall of Fame. So that's coming up in March.
We're Hall of Famer. We're going to be a Hall of Famer,
you are,
Maddie.
Everybody in this room.
Yep.
It's a Hall of Famer.
Everybody. Oh, well, I can't say it's everybody listening. But.
But yeah. So there you go. Thank you for having me on.
No, thank you so much
no,
for coming.
Thank you for having me on. This is just
no,
amazing.
No, thank you.
No. Thank you.
And you know what? Before we go. Go Birds.
Go Birds, exactly.
Go Eagles, fly.
Fly Eagles, fly.
Let's go.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me thank you guys for joining us on the Season 2, Episode 14, or Season 2 finale of Teed Up. Thank you to our editor and producer, Aiden Swanepoel, and our multimedia editor, Elle Nicklin. If you want to stay up to date on the latest in Long Beach State sports, check out our website, daily49er.com, and follow us on socials at daily49er. Please watch the Banana Break video that we're going to be posting on the same day as we're posting this podcast with Gary Metzger. Gary, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for joining us. And Season 3 is about to be a movie, so stay tuned for Season 3 in January. Let's get it!